Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Everybody, thank you for joining me for today's episode here on Intuitive Awakening. I have a lovely guest. Dr. Alicia Das is joining us today. So I'm going to tell you just a little bit about her. She is regarded globally as an authoritative voice on angelology. She has the rare gift of speaking the angelic language, and her mastery in spiritual psychology, healing, energetic work, and consciousness clearing, which does include past lives, makes her a trusted guide in empowering others to connect to their divine nature. She is set to release her first book with Hay House, and it's called Your Archangelic Ancestry, and it'll be released next year in July. Alicia has led over 250 spiritual workshops, and she's the host of the Live Your Love podcast. Welcome to the show, Alicia. Can you hear me? Oh, no. Can you hear me, Alicia?
Yeah, now, yes. You went away for a second and now you're back. Hi.
Hi. Well, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you here. And I'm really interested in how you began your journey. Like, how did you get connected to the angels or the archangels?
It's funny. Archangelic is a little hard for people to say sometimes, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Deanna, as a child, really, I had a rather traumatic experience when I was tiny, and the angels, but what I really mostly remembered is these beautiful monolithic beings standing by me, and my focus was upon them, which really allowed me to stay very whole and together there during this time, and it started a dialogue with them that really has been lifelong. And when I really began my angelic awakening in earnest as I became older, I realized that this beautiful language was actually the angelic language that I was conversing with them when I was very young. And so that's how I originally started with them. They would give me information about things that, you know, in rural Indiana it frightened people that this kid could know these things. And so I learned to really to quiet that sight until I was out on my own and moved to New York City and then LA and places where I could really be a lot more vocal about intuitive clairvoyant things and spirituality in a way that has really been nourishing for myself and eventually for others as I became a practitioner.
So when you first started communicating with them, I mean, did you intuitively know who they were, or what was that connection like? Was there any fear associated with that?
Goodness, never any fear. As a child, we're in that magical land in any case. And no, I never had any fear with them. When I was in my very early 20s was when I started doing workshops and things, and then eventually started teaching workshops on angels. And for me, of course, they're incredibly awe-inspiring. So, but I wouldn't call it fear. I would more call it awe. Sometimes when we really connect to the very highest great archangels, it can be very confrontive to our ego. And then it can be, again, I wouldn't call it fearful. I would call it a big stretch, a big expansion in consciousness to really accept the awesomeness. You know, it's interesting in the Bible, the most common phrase associated from angels that angels say is fear not, even right. To yeah. Prophets and saints. And it's because their presence is very numinous, very heavenly, very celestial, very awesome.
Right.
But really, we're all made of the same substance as they, which is spirit.
That is very true. So you also said that you were dialoguing with them or understood them in their language. Is that correct? What does that sound like to you?
To me, it's very beautiful language. It's very lyrical. It has pitch, and it's very soft, almost sensual, and it's incredibly transporting. So when I first started hearing it and I shared about it with my spiritual teacher, you know, he had said, speak some of it. And I did. And he said, it be very discerning about whom you share that with, because it transports people to another realm. So rather than sharing, I have shared it out loud here and there when very much guided to. And it, people very much do have a, I seem to have quite a transcendent experience, an altered state. So, and people are always saying, well, share some of it now, which I don't do on podcasts or things, because if somebody's driving, you know, it's not a good thing. So it would only be in a very intimate setting where everybody's in the room. There's plenty of, you know, couches and things if they kind of want to get out of their body. And it's very much a language, but really it's more of a communion.
Okay. And in that communion, I guess when I'm thinking about a foreign language, you know, as a, from a human perspective, of course, you know, there's always difficulty in learning just even the basics of that language. But when you heard it, you intuitively understood it. Is that correct?
When I first heard it, I knew it was this mystical sound. You know, of course, we always want to be discerning when we have spiritual experiences. So at first I thought I could be going crazy, you know, because it was these beautiful sounds, but again, sounds, right? It kind of sounded like gibberish. And, but yet the experience with it was so positive. So at that point, I'd been on a spiritual path. I was living in an ashram. I knew to trust spiritual experience, but always to be discerning, you know, is this positive? Is this truth? And so at first, I didn't know what it was. I knew it was connected to the angels. I did not know at first it was a language. I thought it was just pretty sounds. As I kept hearing it and then eventually speaking it, always by myself, I didn't do it with anybody else for quite a while. Years, I believe. Years. At first, I wasn't sure it was a language. Then as it kept started repeating, I realized it was a language. At first, I started to translate it. Then I realized it couldn't be directly translated, right?
Okay.
Because am I really hearing and speaking the language with which the angels communicate? I don't think so. I think I'm hearing and speaking as close as a human tongue can get to the language with which the angels communicate. Because angels are telepathic. They communicate well beyond language, which is interesting because, of course, angels means messengers of God.
Right, exactly.
Right? So I think that I am, so what I realized was speaking the language, most of which I mostly did inside, would connect me to higher knowledge, would connect me to higher angels, would open records, at first the Akashic and then higher records. So it was more of a transport system rather than, I do directly translate some of the language, but mostly I allow it to be a transmission.
I understand exactly what you're saying. So, okay, as you just stated, the angels are messengers. So this is going to be a ridiculous question, but I do have to ask for even for myself.
Yeah, sure.
So where do the angels hang out? Are they in a separate realm? We know they're coexisting, but where are they?
First of all, I love ridiculous questions. Second of all, that is not at all a ridiculous. I have to confess, I'm a little disappointed. I'm like, oh, shoot, I thought you were going to ask me if angels have sex or something. I get that all the time. That is a ridiculous question. Your question is a very wise one. So my experience is that where do angels hang out? Well, first of all, everywhere. They're ethereal. They are not, you know, there's a prevailing myth that if you don't see hot men in dresses, you're not seeing angels.
Right.
I think that is ridiculous. Their essence, right? They're not corporal, their essence. So, but they do exist in a separate realm. We do experience angels, see them with spiritual sensing, but they are not in our realm. So we're having to see into their realm to experience them, right? We like the form of them, and we present these beautiful. And to me, that's all symbolic, right? Because yes, they are in a separate parallel realm to ours. Now, how can we be aware of them, and how can they be aware of us? I believe that's divine design. That at some point, God, in all her wisdom, realized that there was going to be expedited evolution for both creations to have them intermingle. But the beautiful thing about us being aware of angels is that it exercises our spiritual sight to perceive into this whole other realm. So obviously the realms are permeable, to be able to experience these numinous, these heavenly apparitions.
So, okay, I do have another related question. I have all these questions in my head, so I'm trying to write everything down. So I wonder, from your perspective, do you believe then we are at a point in time where our evolution is being expedited?
Absolutely. I think that most people on a spiritual path, religious path, would say that. I mean, can't we all feel the intensity? My goodness, it's quite a pivotal time, and there's quite a confluence of, of course, there's the changing of the ages from the Piscean to the Aquarian age. Right. There's the a greater opportunity for more grace on the planet, a 2,000-year pattern with that. There's, of course, the intensity of wars and politics and divisiveness and fluidity of gender and the races coming together, which I think is beautiful because I'm actually half English, half Indian. So I'm a blend of cultures. My spiritual path is very much almost equally Western and Eastern. You know, I love this coming together. But of course, there's intensity and divisiveness, and the ego does not love change. And there's a lot of change right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that there's more light on the planet right now. I think the very highest of angels are closer in. There's also a lot of darkness on the planet, because when you have more light, what's that going to do? It's going to reveal the shadows. And the shadows, you know, are not going to scurry away into the night necessarily. They're going to fight. And I think that's what we're experiencing. But the light will prevail. Just when and how is the adventure of life.
Yes, that's very true. So let's talk about this in terms of, okay, there's various types of angels who do, or I'm assuming perform specific types of roles. Can you kind of walk us through this?
Surely. You have great questions.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. So the first thing, I do have a bit of a precursor, which is angels. We relate to, you have roles, you have hierarchy, Archangel Michael, and there's angels much higher than Michael, even, you know, are much higher than an angel, a guardian angel just spawned from God. They don't relate to hierarchy, because angels are always in remembrance of the divine. They don't go, well, you're more God and you're less God, right? Humans, we could certainly learn a lot from that, right? Yes. We think that yes. Somebody who's a multi-billionaire is a, you know, more elite than someone who's an ecstasy in India next to a garbage heap. Well, gosh, if you're looking from spirit, you certainly wouldn't say that. But so in any case, they don't view themselves in a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. But we can, just to kind of organize their function.
Yes.
So you have guardian angels. You have, first of all, you have angels just hanging out, spawned from God. They don't generally interact in our realm, probably because they don't. There's not a service. Angels are all about service, mm-hmm. right? So once they evolve to guardian angel, which is not an archangel, and we all have a guardian angel in my experience, you have the guardian angels who very much serve individuals personally. Right. And then you have archangels. Once the angels, By the way, angels are very different than archangels. Angels, in my experience, are in a collective. They don't have an individual soul. I wouldn't necessarily hang out with a lot of angels unless the train is about to go off the tracks, and then I'd call upon everybody. And often it does take a guardian angel group to move a train back on a track. Not because of strength, because that's bending the rules of the physical universe, right? So sometimes we're meant to see that, and sometimes we're not. So, in any case, you have archangels who then do have individual souls, and they can have as many functions as there are beings, and there's a lot more angels than there are humans, right? And then you have great archangels, which are very rarefied and pristine, and they can be in charge of universes. They are much more evolved than we. There are some that we're familiar with, but they're probably a lot more evolved than we are familiar with. And this is what my book, Your Archangelic Ancestry, which is not quite out yet, but will be, is about, is it's about really understanding our own angelic heritage and working with the very highest great archangels, because there's Googleplex, which I've learned is the biggest number. Google was named after, right? That's what Google was named after. So there's Googleplex angels. There's only about 150 great archangels. So that gives you an idea. They're very rarefied. Some we've heard of, like Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, etc. Mm-hmm. Right? And then there's some who've been serving more in relative anonymity until now that are even higher. And then you have angels above them called the silent ones, who really are that bridge from essence, undifferentiated consciousness, the spiritual, and creation, manifest creation. And then we could keep going, but at that point, it would be hard to perceive them and still maintain human separation or seeming separation.
Definitely. So, okay. In terms of the guardian angels, I'm curious, before our incarnation as a human, do we select our guardian angels for support, or are they assigned? How does that work exactly?
Again, a great question. So first of all, I have to say that that could be a whole podcast in and of itself.
Yeah. Yes,
it could. So I'm going to oversimplify it, okay? So there's different scenarios. A common scenario is that spirit, is it really spirit? It's probably more a karmic board. It's probably more the master teacher of our soul, you know, will then select a guardian angel for us.
Okay.
Given what our soul has ordained to learn for God, right? Given the overarching purpose of our soul, and given what this particular individuation, this incarnation stream, right? The purpose of it. So a guardian angel will be picked for us. That's a good match. So we have a divine matchmaker, a celestial matchmaker that matches us with a guardian angel that it's not only perfect for serving us and what we're to do, but it's also perfect for serving them and what they're to learn. So they serve us, and in turn, they learn from our free choice. They don't have free choice, and they don't have individual souls, right? We do.
That's very interesting. So would you say then all of the angels, including the archangels and the highest levels, I'll just put it that way, are they also in their own state of evolution?
Absolutely. I mean, to my purview, we're all evolving. Everything is evolving. Sometimes we're devolving if we've fallen. There are fallen angels. But yes, they're absolutely evolving. It's like, it's a great symbiosis, which sounds pejorative, which sounds negative, but it's not. It's actually very positive. So they serve us. They're like, dude, there's a manhole. Walk around, right? Do not even think about dating that guy, you know, right? Yeah. Do we listen to them? Hopefully. Do we always listen to them? Oh, heck no. Right. It's that still small voice is very darn still and small.
Yeah.
So they serve us, but they in turn learn from us. They learn like, oh, yeah, she's heading for a fall there. Yep. Boy, dude, I'm not going to do that when, you know, I have free will. So they're learning from us. And they serve us. So they evolve through our relationship. And then often we'll have the same guardian angel through many lifetimes. Not always, but often. And then sometimes that guardian angel, you know, if they've been a good student, will then evolve to an archangel. Then they probably won't be a guardian angel. Probably not for us. Maybe they'll be a guardian angel for a spiritual master, or they may just go be an archangel and do archangel things, right? So, and then sometimes we evolve so much if we've made good choices and navigated this difficult realm, you know, where we then might have a higher angel as a guardian angel. So it's kind of a mutable evolving process in and of itself.
Wow. So, okay. There's something that I'm very curious about, because I've heard many conversations about what are called earth angels. And I wonder, and I'm probably incorrect here, but is this related to, let's just say, the angels incarnating as a human? Has that ever happened, or are the two concepts unrelated?
You ask the best questions, Deanna.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you.
It's very true. Absolutely. Again, that is what this is about, is it's, and I'm to again oversimplify a very intricate question. Apologies to the intricacy of humanity and the cosmos and angelology, but I'm going to oversimplify. So the angelic is a very ancient creation, far more ancient than humanity, which a lot of spiritual masters call an experiment, a latter-day experiment. And so my experience from all these decades of angelic exploration and then teaching many hundreds of classes on it is that angels existed and evolved. It was, remember, a separate realm. Humans didn't exist. The human realm didn't exist. And it was going great, except that because angels were in a collective and they're one with God, they weren't as evolving. They weren't evolving as quickly to an archangel, which has an individual soul. It was taking millions of years. And so, again, oversimplifying, God decided to speed things up a bit and then created the human realm. Totally chaotic, messy, free choice, opposite evolution to angels. Angels born always knowing their God, humans with no free, evolving to free choice, humans born in free choice. I can lop my baby sister on the head if I want to, right? Mm-hmm. Evolving to that divine remembrance in which an angel is born. Right? We evolve to a Jesus, a Rumi, a Buddha, a Muhammad, etc. Right? Yes. So they're born in divine remembrance. They evolve to the individuality with which we're born. So then the human realm was created. And a lot of those who were archangels in the archangelic realm then incarnated into the human realm to get a crash course in free choice. I don't think angels evolved into the human realm, because I think that an angel who doesn't have free choice or an individual soul, I do not think they could navigate the more sovereign state that is the human, you know? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of us, most of us, I believe, then evolve, incarnated into the human realm, having had at least a field trip in the angelic, because it's so ancient, if not many, many lifetimes, if not most of our lifetimes in the angelic. Right. And now we're human and we don't remember our angelic lifetimes because it's so much simpler compared to our human life. Right. Mm-hmm. You're in pastel robes. You never forget God. You have that convenient archangel above you disseminating the will of God. It's all cool. And then you come here and you're like, yikes. Right. So if we would remember that kinder, gentler place, a lot of us might have tried to take our lives to go back there. And so there's a big, heavy, opaque veil between us and the angelic until we both evolve, the angels and the humans, and everybody keeps evolving, until we evolve to this time where now we can subconsciously at least remember the angelic. Mm-hmm. And that's where you start to have these more people who are more clairvoyant, who have these gifts, who have this divine inspiration, where this their angelicness, if you will, starts to bleed through. But until it's more conscious, when it's subconscious, it can leave us with a bit of divine unrest. I know there's a kinder, gentler place, and I want to go back there, but I don't know where it is, but I want to go there now.
Right. Yes.
And I feel like a stranger in a strange land, and I don't get money, time, and space.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
And so this book is all about awakening more consciously to our angelic heritage, remembering our angelic name, and then mingling it with our human, wild, co-creator, sovereign nature so that we experience the best of both creations. And we are a sovereign human who has the divine remembrance of an angel, who has the ability to bring forward higher messages like an angel, etc.
So as you've connected with the angelic realm, have you ever, or what, maybe I should ask it this way, what is your experience when new angels approach you? What is that like, if you could describe that? Because I think in, at least I'm going to say in America, but I'm sure elsewhere where Christianity is very strong, we are more inclined to believe that certain archangels exist because we've heard of them, right, biblically, but obviously there are a lot more. So what is that like for you when you hear the names? Is there any skepticism? Do you ask them a lot of questions about them? Who, you know, who they are? Why are you here? All of that.
I am tempted to, but I am not allowed to ask them a bunch of curiosity questions. Trust me, I would love to. It really has to be of service, called like, do I experience new individual angels? Absolutely. Because then I will live with, love them, experience them, learn about them. And only then, when I'm sure is not the right word, when I have clarity that this is a very positive, beneficial being, then I'll share it with my classes or blogs or whatever, right? So, but I'll vet them myself, not because they need vetting, because my discernment needs vetting, meaning like we always want to keep our discernment present. Can we be fooled? Of course, right? So I will, so again, I only recommend that we work with the very highest, you know, pristine, rare, great archangels. So if I'm sensing that one is present, even like right now, there's one, a very high angel present, that it's, I can sense it. I haven't quite been able to get to it because they're high, right? So I will keep opening myself to their presence. And then often how they'll introduce themselves to me is I will start to bring forward a higher message from them. And in this higher message, they'll reveal more about themselves, more about humanity, more about how can they assist. You know, they'll reveal the service opportunity of their presence. And eventually I'll receive a name for them. It takes a while. It's not like I instantly hear a name, because again, I'm hearing into a different realm, a different language. And eventually I'll hear a name for them, which will help connect. Once I get the name and I've hung out with them for a while, I'll generally feel comfortable then sharing them with other people. And then I'll go on, what's your experience? And it'll be amazing how different people, I won't, you know, tell Susie, I've, you know, told Joe about Mireille, for example, right? And then tell, you know, Sarah, and then the three of them will report back very similar experiences, and then I'll share it with a class, and the class will start to then come back time after time and go, oh, I had this experience with Mireille, the angel of light, and she healed this, and you know, and so I'm always canvassing the classes of, you know, what is your experience of this particular being?
I mean, I think you brought up a really good point just about discernment in general, because I don't know how many people really think about, okay, yes, you know, there are all kinds of spirits that coexist, you know, and I'm sure they want to communicate, especially if you're open or available, but you do have to kind of vet them first.
For sure. My recommendation and strident encouragement, because that's part of the trickiness of this level is there's all kinds of distractions and there's illusion and we can be fooled. I've been fooled, goodness, this morning. You know, I there was a counterfeit angel with me. And so I was fooled this morning. And so it's really like recognizing that. And if you have a practitioner, so someone who can see that, then, you know, it's always good to check it out with someone else that you trust, of course. And so then it's really just, it's just recognizing it. Oh, ha, fooled me, you know, and then really honing your awareness to go into the truth.
So what does it sound like, I guess, or what does it feel like to have, a spirit like impersonating an angel? Like, how would we know the difference?
Yeah, really, really good question. So first of all, it's going to be very personal. You know, darn it, they are going to know what your Achilles heel is.
Ah, okay.
So often it will come in on a karmic opening. They fooled us in the past. Or I really want this and they know that. You know, but they don't get to just come in and mess with us. Well, sometimes they do, but mostly they don't get to unless we have some sort of vulnerability, a temptation, four lifetimes in the past where they fooled us and now we get a do-over, you know, or it's like it always builds where, let's say, we have been off and we know we're off, but we really like being off. Because it's giving, you know, it feeds our ego, and then we're not paying attention, and now we're off, 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 and now they're like, ha, right? But it's not because God is capricious and just loves to test us. It's because that makes us a lot stronger.
Right.
Right? And if we're at this level, and we get fooled by this one, and so now we have to hang out until we're strong enough to move back up, then we move back up and now we're fooled by this one. Now what happens is that we don't then fall all the way down,
right?
Because we keep building strength, building discernment. So what does it feel or sound like? You know, you can just, if you do the work long enough, the work meaning prayer, meditation, reading, studying, mm-hmm. contemplation, et cetera, the work, which we constantly do, right? You can just sense when you can like bring forward this beautiful message and go delete. You can just, you have to go slow and then you can sense, you might feel your ego inflated. Ooh, that was a good message. You might feel, just annoyed, irritated, out of sorts. You might go to connect to source, to God, to spirit, whatever you call it, to higher power. And it's crickets.
Mm.
And you go, I'm off somewhere. Oh, yeah. Well, it was 3 days ago. I didn't listen. You know, so it gets subtle.
So if these types of, you know, spirits are trying to, you know, communicate with you, let's say in meditation or what have you, do we as humans have the power to really get them out of our space? I don't know how else to ask that, like to remove them away from us.
Sure.
Like, do they have to adhere to our words?
You know, we have the power. Well, spirit has the power to remove them. We have the power to clear our consciousness and to make right such that they have to leave. So how do we do that? Gosh, many different ways. One is by, if you can, determining the karmic opening, right? And then closing it. Many ways to do that. Forgiveness, sometimes movement, you know, go take a big fast run and just like, okay, you know, get all the stagnant energy out, and then really open yourself to prayer. A lot of it is intention, called like, Lord, I really want to serve, right? To be your vessel. And so please clear my consciousness. You can certainly ask the angels to help. That's one of the great ways they can assist, because there's a pretty formidable dark angel called Lucifer, who is, you know, first angel. And he, not really he, it's more of an it, but angels know their own. So you can ask the angels of light to clear away the angels of darkness, right? They know their own. And so they're very powerful in that. If I'm working with somebody to clear a dark angel, often Michael, Archangel Michael, which is the one I tend to work with the most, will come in and hold that negativity at bay until I can read the karma and clear it, right? And then he'll lift up. But they're incredibly brave and formidable spiritual warriors. So I would call on the angels of light, certainly call on spirit, God, you know, Buddha, Zoroaster. I would call in the whole team.
Yes.
Let them do the bookkeeping on who's going to show up.
Exactly. So what are common misconceptions that people have just about angels in general that you've come across?
Oh, it can get so funny.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite one is, again, that, you know, if I'm not seeing, you know, babies with flaming swords and robes, if I'm not seeing hot men in dresses, or, you know, supermodel women in ethereal wings, I'm not seeing angels. To me, they have very little form. Mm. Right. To me, they don't have any form, actually. It's a presence. It's a knowing. It's an invisible sense, as real as this, you know, statue of an angel here, right? It's very perceptible, but it's not form. It's not. So do I ever see swords or, you know, robes or that kind of thing? Rarely. Do I sometimes? Sure. And that's symbolic for me. So I think the big myth is, oh, if I'm not seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, you know, the twinkle of the bells, I'm not experiencing angels. I would say you very likely are experiencing angels. You're just not giving yourself the benefit of a doubt, right? So yeah. Like you, Deanna, have you ever had times where it's like, you know, you just had a near miss?
Yes, for sure.
And do you ever go, wow, I think I was just divinely protected?
Oh, definitely. 100%. I believe that.
Yeah. So if you track that back and you go, oh, I just sensed right there was protection, you know? And you just slow that moment in time down. You can start to be aware of the hand of the angels there. So it all comes from God. Angels are definitely not God, right? It all comes from God, spirit, higher power, nature, whatever we want to call it, right? It all comes from God. But, you know, is God everywhere? Yes. Is God everywhere, often through angels? Yes.
So I think the very last thing that I wanted to ask you, because I would like for you to come back when your book is released so we can delve a little into your archangelic ancestry and your name, because I think those are very intriguing things I would love to learn about. I guess I would like to ask you if there's any takeaway that you want people to know about just the angels and how to build a relationship or how to communicate with your angels.
Well, I'll give you my takeaway and then I'll let the angels give you a takeaway. How does that sound?
Sure.
Okay. I would say if you really want to build more of a relationship, first of all, go for the big guys, you know, go to the top, right? So intend to connect with the highest of angels, and then rock back on your heels and really be open to receive. Give yourself that pause where you really are sitting in the silence. It's not very long, by the way, you know, that you'll start to experience a presence and realize that you're sensing them with spiritual sensing. So it will be subtle, but also recognizable, right? So however you know the presence of spirit, right? So, like, for example, how do you usually perceive spirit or intuition, since your podcast is about intuition?
Yes, intuitively, I feel the presence of their energy. And as you relayed earlier, what they look like for me, it's sparks of light. So that's how I know they're present.
Beautiful. So sparks of light is how you recognize angels and spirit and yes, the numinous. So it's really just then adding to or being aware of with those sparks of light, do you have a message for me? Mm-hmm. And then to just start speaking what that message is, trusting that you, Deanna, that everyone is a messenger of God, just like unto an angel. Mm-hmm. So as you start speaking from you allow those sparks of light to speak, which you probably already do. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So then you then allow in the silence the angels to reveal more to you, which will always be something, or my experience, always be a way you can connect more to God, to spirit, and how you can either be served or be of service.
I see.
Right? So do they get involved with the quotidian, with the daily, with, you know, should I move to Arkansas or Alaska? They do. That's probably more your guardian angel, or you could ask an archangel. But more, they get involved with, can you perceive the next highest realm of divine love?
Mm.
Can you sacrifice your ego such that you know yourself as one with divinity? That's more where these very high angels get involved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really intend, listen, give yourself the benefit of a doubt. These senses are subtle. And then, of course, and then to bring forward a message, and then to practice.
Yes, and practice is important.
Practice is important. And if you would like me to, we can see what the angels have to say for you and your listeners.
For sure. Go ahead.
There is an ever widening circle of light here in our midst, a spiral, a staircase to heaven, if you will. And that is endemic within each of you. Humans are brave beings under the stewardship of sparks of light that are called souls. And those souls contain the fire and the faith and the phenomenal, perfect presence of the divine. Don't underestimate the power of your soul, perceivable to you, available to you, waiting for you in every moment. You are never, ever alone. Connect now all the points of light of all the beings on this planet. Yes, each human has a soul. And as you connect to each one now, be aware that the hands of the archangels are upon yours, encircling each human soul, joined together into the most beautiful orb of light, the collective consciousness of the human, the God-man, the God-woman. But we encircle you, holding for you, speaking peace into the planet, present in your hearts, minds, bodies, and souls, for we are the hands, the voices, the presence of God into this world, just as you are the presence of God into this world. We always are here for you. Amen.
Thank you so much. That was so beautiful. I appreciate you doing that as well and sharing that information for everybody to hear. So, Alicia, I had a great time with you today. I'm so glad that you're on the show. And yes, we should connect before your book is released next year. And if people want to find you and connect with you, how can they?
Oh, well, thank you for asking that. And I would be very delighted. You, like I said, you have such great questions. Of course, AliciaDaS.com. It's just my name, AlishaDaS.com. AliciaDaS.com. I have tons of free resources, an angel toolkit where they can instantly connect to their guardian angel, and lots of videos about connecting to the pristine great archangels. So lots of free resources on my website. I'm on Instagram, Alicia K. Daas, and on YouTube, also easy to search by my name. So tons of free resources, and I very much look forward to connecting with you again.
Yes, thank you so much for being here, and everybody take care and have a great day ahead.